Russell is probably not available. Yes, it's Shortstop Avenue Audio, one of their Mirai, a little bit pie in the sky. Maybe give Tulo a try. It's Shortstop Avenue Audio. Hey, Owings is one to admire. Just please don't stop at Kadire. Since they've got it all wrong, I've had to update the song for Shortstop Avenue Audio. Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Shortstop Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Shortstop Avenue, where we talk only about the Mets shortstop situation every week, week after week, after week after week. We even have a jingle, as you heard at the open. I am your host, who's very tired of talking about Mets shortstops or potential Mets shortstops, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, before we start talking about shortstops, and that is on the agenda of Shortstop Avenue Audio. The Mets scout team had their annual preseason trivia contest. I assume it's annual. I don't know. Tommy Tanis tweeted out about it. The Southeastern region of Mets scouts won. So if you had to take any Met, current Met, to trivia night at your local watering hole, who would you pick?
Okay, so that's how this came up. Okay, so I would see if it's too bad that R.A. Dickey isn't still on the team, because I feel like he would be a kind of guy who's really good at this kind of stuff.
You don't think he's a little too erudite? I feel like bar trivia night gets into like trashy TV and movies and.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't go to a lot of bar. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff like, you know, random periodic table crap. I don't go to many bar trivia nights because I prefer to drink alone in my house with good whiskey. As a general rule, I do go out to bars, obviously. But not the type of bars that have trivia nights, the general rule.
Dickey kind of trends towards the dorky side of that kind of stuff, you know, the more geeky, like Star Wars stuff. You know, not to say that I don't like Star Wars. So he could help.
I think the Star Wars stuff would help. I feel like there would be.
Yeah, there would be a category.
Lord of the Rings, too, certainly.
Right. So he would get that, you know, very specific stuff. But. For a current Met, I feel like Lucas Duda would be a really good guy. I feel like
I would just like to hang out with Lucas Duda at a bar. So yeah, you got that going for you too.
He could probably pound some beers, but I feel like he's the kind of guy who comes across as quiet, but I feel like he's like a wallflower. He takes everything in, and I think he's probably got a lot of knowledge back. You know, he could definitely be useful on a trivia night.
Yeah, I probably went a little too deep on this. I kept loving myself to the 25-man roster, because basically every question on this podcast, if I phrased it in regards to the 40-man roster, where it once was Josh Satin and will now be Gabriel Yanoa, because I just want to hang out with Gabby Yanoa for a night. But I wanted a couple things I looked at here. I wanted to go for a college draftee, just for sort of like the general knowledge coursework you might have had to do in college might come in handy. I also wanted someone with a fairly long minor league career post sort of Wi-Fi and iPads everywhere. Can you know, you think a guy who probably read a lot of books on a Kindle or watch a lot of movies or TV shows on those long bus trips.
All right.
So I settled on Anthony Recker, because he also seems like a fairly worldly guy. You know, he had that piece he did with Jared Diamond about food, where he eats on the road.
Okay. I could see that. I could definitely see that. He seems like the kind of guy who's, you know, in touch with, social stuff. So maybe pop culture is probably got his, ear into that.
I don't know. I don't think he's one of the Duck Dynasty guys. I think that was Plawecki and Reynolds and somebody else. All like the Mets prospect Twitter a couple of years ago was a flutter about Duck Dynasty.
I thought about going with Matt Bowman for this just because, you know, he's a Princeton guy. So maybe he's got that weird memory, could probably soak in a lot of information. You know, he probably could have been a good one, too.
I can make a joke here about Princeton not being a real Ivy League school, but I won't.
It's out of my league, so I'll just put it that way.
Certainly mine as well. So this is episode 99, Greg, of Shortstop Avenue Audio. It does feel like we've talked 99 hours worth of the Mets shortstop situation over the last 2+ years.
Yeah, and we will continue to.
And the title of this episode is Grand Slam single. There's nothing else to say.
Okay.
I considered, there's a great Masato Yoshi quote about his game against Randy Johnson, which I did not bother to look up before the show, because I was busy thinking about shortstops in preparation. Because the agenda for episode 99 is we're going to talk a little bit about the Mets shortstop situation. Specifically, trades for shortstops they have not made. Last week, or end of last week, came out, the Mets were approached. I think Ken Rosenthal reported it originally. Mm-hmm. The Mets have been approached by the Rays and or the Nats about a three-team deal that would have sent Escobar, Yuniel Escobar, and Zobrist to the A's. The A's would send... I think the A's were sending anybody. I assume the A's were sending... sorry, I'm screwing this up. That's where they ended up going. We'll try this again from the start. Yeah. There's too many shortstop trades going on right now. They're confusing.
Too many actual trades
too
going
many,
on.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The Rays would have sent Escobar and Zobrist to the Nats instead of the A's where they ended up sending them. The Nats would send Ian Desmond to the Mets, and the Mets would send a premium prospect package rumored to be, or at least the ask was rumored to be, Noah Syndergaard plus another top five type prospect to the Rays. And the report was that Sandy Alderson balked at this. And at the time, I thought that was reasonable. I know on the show, for most of this offseason, I've said, really since the Kadir signing specifically, that this team is creating a window for them in 2015-2016. Where they're trying to compete. Well, Kadir is still on the books, and Granderson and Wright are still potentially young and healthy enough to be major contributors to this team. And while their young pitching is still cheap. I was a little leery about jumping on the reported deal. Just because putting all your eggs in the one-year basket is risky. And they're not going to re-sign Desmond. If Desmond was re-signable or the Mets wanted to re-sign him, the Nats would already have signed him to an extension.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what he's looking at for money. I would guess it starts around Hanley Ramirez money and might stretch up towards Jose Reyes money. In that general vicinity. Somewhere between 4 and 6 years, somewhere between $85 and $110 million, which I don't think is unreasonable given his track record. I don't know how great he's going to age, but he's been a very, he's a very, very good player. Like, he's one of those players you don't think, I mean, he's made, what, a couple All-Star games, I think, at this point?
Probably at this point.
But he's not a guy you really think of as sort of a consistent year-in and year-out All-Star level player. But, you know, as offense has dropped, you know, he's been, the last 3 years, he's hit 25, 20, and 24 home runs. I mean, I consider him generally a good, certainly a solid defender at shortstop. Nothing special. The metrics don't love him. You know, he's a little below average, but even keeping that in mind, the last 3 years by Baseball Reference War, he's been worth, you know, 3.4, if you want to go to one decimal place, which is whatever, 3.4, 3.6, and 3.8 wins. I mean, he strikes out a lot. He doesn't walk a ton, though his walk rates aren't awful. He's been an above league average hitter the last 3 years. He's only made one All-Star game, but one of the Silver Slugger the last 3 years. Which basically means he hit a lot of home runs. But as a shortstop, you know, he's sort of a J.J. Hardy-ish. He's like a younger J.J. Hardy without the elite glove with a little more power. You know, that's a guy that makes them better. He's also actually a pretty good base stealer now that I look at that, too. Stolen 20 bases each of the last 4 years. You know, he makes the Mets better in 2015.
No doubt.
He makes the Nats worse in 2015. Is that enough to, you know, get rid of Noah Syndergaard and, say, Kevin Plawecki? Yeah, you mean you're putting your eggs all in that one-year basket. If it doesn't work out, you're just